Your energy is gone, your hunger is loud, and your plans aren't feeding you. So what are you still doing here? Cool off with a refreshing large Big Gulp drink at 7-Eleven. Cold, refreshing, and made the way you like it. It's available at 7-Eleven and just 59 cents with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores, see app for full terms.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. You know, Regis and Kathy Lee are done. Kelly and Michael, I think, are done. I don't even know. Who's the new Anderson Cooper and whoever? I just think this country needs a new morning show. And it would look exactly or very similar to this. I think this is what we might have a little bit of a nicer backdrop, but a morning show for America would be Candace and Tim in the morning. We lead with the person who's she's just done a little better, let's be honest, in follower counts and exposure. And I will tag right along. And I mean, first of all, thank you for doing this.
Candace and Tim.
Candace, oh yeah, for sure.
It was like Regis and Kelly.
I play my position. I know
okay,
the deal.
Just making sure.
Candace and Tim. I fully know my, I fully play my position. I show up, you hand me an index card. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
That's good.
I go, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, good. Great.
You know, I wanted to tell you a fun story that I think you'll like. I know that you probably, you know your reach, but I think it surprises you sometimes. I was at the Beverly Hills Hotel. A French guy who checks me in all the time goes, "Get over here." I thought there was like a problem in the hotel. I didn't know what was going on. I thought there was a leak in the room. He goes, "Listen," he's whispering in the lobby of the hotel. He goes, "Are you watching the Candace Owens expose right now?" And I said, "Yeah, I kind of a little bit." And he goes, "Oh my God." He goes, "I'm from France." And he goes, "I believe it's true." And he's like, "I know people who've seen weird stuff." And we just started giggling like schoolgirls and talking, watching Candace Owens. Because you've now become like this wild investigative, like you do these deep dives into stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really wild. And like, it was just really fun to me that, you know, this guy who's just is checking me into a hotel was really like watching your content. And then he's on this thing's blown up in France.
Oh, and everywhere. You know, I mean, it is the most international thing I've ever done. And I could not have ever predicted that it would be that big.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is if Emmanuel Macron had not sent me that letter threat, we were only going to do one episode.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it's like I was so angry that he had the audacity to send a server processor to Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm a little testy when I'm pregnant. I'll give you that.
Sure.
You know, like, but like someone is gonna knock on my front door and say the president of France says you're not allowed to speak or else. So yeah, it's just a challenge. So I was like, okay, like now we're really doing this thing. Like I already knew he married a dude,
right?
You know, but now we're really doing this thing, and we just poured hours and hours and hours into just more research, tagging it on, making sure people could follow it themselves and understand. Like this wasn't like for funsies. It's like he actually married a dude.
What was interesting about this thing, I mean, you go on this, I mean, I don't want to call it a treasure hunt, but you go you go on this really exhaustive trip, this research into Brigitte Macron, who, by the way, a lot of people in France agree with you.
Oh, they know.
Of all political stripes. And by the way, gay people, trans people, like, this is not like a lot of people are like, one of the journalists who looked into this was a gay journalist. Like, a lot of people are like, yeah, something's up here.
Mm-hmm.
Something's up.
Oh, it's more than up. It is like 1,000% true. Or else the way that he could have stopped the entire docuseries.
Right.
For those people who haven't like watched it.
Yeah.
We then wrote back to the president and his mister at the Élysée Palace and said, "I'm glad you opened up lines of communication. We're not interested. We're not in the business of defaming anyone.
Right.
I would make a fool of myself.
Right.
So if you would just kindly answer this yes or no question, like, were you born a woman, a female, Brigitte? We'll include this and we'll stop the series." They declined to do it.
Right.
So it's, I mean, who would not stop if I'm like, I'm about to do this huge piece and you can stop it by simply answering yes or no? But they couldn't do that because then they would have been lying on record. It would have opened up way more issues. And in unfortunately, he's not familiar with law in America. But in order to reach that actual malice standard, you have to show that we acted in reckless disregard for the truth. You refuse to say the truth. I mean, it was just this pompous 100 page. We don't have to answer whether or not like Brigitte is a woman or a man. Man, what a bizarre thing to say.
It's such an odd story because what it does, what's very interesting about the story to me, there's many layers to it. And what it really calls into question is, how much do we know about the people who run our lives?
Nothing.
So this is what's really interesting to me. These people are introduced at some point as the best option to lead whatever. Mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons Trump was so popular is that people knew him for 30 years. Love him, hate him. Multiple wives, this, that, and the other. You know, people say nasty things about him. People adore him, but they know him. He's not, you know, certain people. Bill Clinton is governing the smallest state in America and is then thrust into the spotlight. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama, a lot of people on the right wing just emerge and they become, you know, a household name immediately. We don't know. No one is doing a lot of research into the backstories of any of these people.
Right.
And when we do, we're attacked. You're being attacked. It's like it's the craziest. I'm like, what is happening?
And it's so much crazier because there's stuff that I can't say on record just
yet. Of course,
I'll tell you off camera. Please. But it's gotten even crazier in terms of like Emmanuel has really come undone,
right?
Because he has never been this exposed. Everyone kind of already knew in France because in France it was being like it was a bubble. But the journalists, again on the left, were the ones that fell down the hole as they were trying to write these. Honestly, they were trying to prop up Brigitte. They were trying to write these feminist pieces about Brigitte,
he's
and then
glowing,
suddenly,
right.
They're like, oh, they were trying to do like the Michelle Obama. Oh, this is amazing for women.
Right.
And then when they tried to do any bit of research, they fell down a hole because the person didn't exist. And then suddenly they were being called into the Élysée Palace. Like, imagine I'm like, I'm going to write this glowing piece about Ivanka Trump and her childhood.
Right.
And suddenly you get called in and you have Secret Service being like, what are you working on?
Right. And there's no
what
photos.
You can't do, here's what you're going to write. And let me tell you how it's going to go. And people were going, this is weird. Why can't I find or confirm anything? Why are they locking down yearbooks? Imagine if you were like, I'm going to write about Candace. I'm like, I'm going to Stanford High School. And then suddenly like Stanford High School starts locking down yearbooks. Something's not right here. This is not, it should be very easy to fact check that somebody
it's
existed.
It's very easy to find at least a few
cheerleading
photos
photo,
of somebody.
I don't know, you in the hospital when you gave birth to your three kids. Isn't that right? Take that first photo.
But you also go into this thing. And by the way, you know, this. Some of this is, and you've just, when you're doing this, the sense of humor, I don't know if you know how funny it is, but it is, I mean, it's laugh out loud. And I mean, the staff at these hotels, we're all just watching. And people like the richest people in the world, like, hey, our room services, we're like, can you relax? We're on episode 3. There's 6 episodes. We have a lot to do. But it's very funny you deliver this stuff. First of all, this idea that really struck me about this whole thing was, number one, she gets together with him. He's like 15, right?
So
this
it's is already weird. It started
it's already
weird.
Like a huge problem.
It's like you're 40 and he's 16. So like, even if this was above board,
yeah.
He's 14, you're 40. We got
huge,
a problem.
Huge problem. But then it is, this is what really makes me laugh. It is, and Candace, you got to, if you haven't watched this, you got to watch it because she handles this in a very funny way. It's sold that this is like a voluptuous model that like is on, like no one could resist this woman. Like every guy in class is going to be looking at this woman going like, this woman is voluptuous and really attractive. And like, she's just a
Claudia Schiffer.
Claudia Schiffer.
Yeah.
And then the photos come out of Brigitte Macron. And immediately you go, they're lying about everything. Like everything's a lie. Like you see this and immediately you go, wait a minute, hold on. Everything seems to be a lie. We've all seen beautiful women and we know what good looking women look like. There's nothing wrong. You know what I mean? It's like, this isn't a voluptuous French.
This is a gym teacher, a PE teacher.
Yes.
Yeah, they already when they were trying to run Emmanuel, they knew they had to justify this weird age gap. And so the press
Which
went
again,
out.
Which again was 48 and 15.
It was, at best, they were trying to tell 40 and 14, okay? At best.
Which is illegal.
But actually,
maybe not there,
it's
but
48 and 14 because we know
that's
that
the craziest. Jean,
once you get to the end of it, you realize, you know, this is Jean-Michel Trogneau. But if she actually had been Brigitte, the enemy that she stole, then she would have been, it would have been 40 and 14. So they first went to the press and wrote a bunch of confusing articles like, oh, actually, no, he was 15 and they sold him as this like virtuoso Mozart. Right. And she was just supposed to be, according to the press, if you just read the articles and nobody actually found pictures of her, right, this just irresistible, drop dead Claudia Schiffer, sexy. All the boys, imagine their hormones running, they're horny. Right. They're like, we love this teacher. She's so hot. And then you see the actual photos of her.
No, it's crazy.
And you're like, no boy. No boy, not one boy at this school, not even one boy at this school was into this. So what is this? Why did the press even lie to us about that? And then you start realizing something's very wrong here with this picture.
Something's very wrong here. And then you start, and then you do this amazing job of, because there's a lot of people that have looked into this in France, and they've been defamed and sued.
Detained. Detained. The main journalist on this had to move his family because they were trying to get him on taxes. Like, you know, right, I will find any crime. And they started going after people for really small and petty things.
And they didn't care who's writing about this. They are going after everybody. And it's weird for a story with no legs or for something that's completely untrue. Why would they be detaining people?
Why would a president of a country send a letter to Nashville, Tennessee?
Yeah, it's crazy.
To like a pregnant woman that's like recording from her basement. That right, tells you the story's true. I mean, there's no right, otherwise you'd be like, well, part of being a president, people write stuff about you all the time. I mean, the stuff they right, say about Trump, you know, like he's not going to, you can't chase down every person that's saying something unless there's something here right, that you're very fearful of. And it's terrifying when you get to it.
What do you think the reaction is in, I mean, the palace to when this line of inquiry starts coming from you, from someone in America with a massive platform? Are they panicked?
Yes.
Yeah.
They are panicked. They are making phone calls. Their lawyers are still calling my lawyers. They still asked for us to take down the series because they were afraid when Joe Rogan mentioned it recently. So they made another phone call and were basically like, you know, we could still see you in the future, but maybe you just want to take it down. And I'm like, have they not worked through my character? Stop with these phone calls. I said to my lawyer, if they call again, we're doing a season two, because I left a lot on the table. You know, I basically was like, this there's so much here.
No, if they call again, you're going to get this on Netflix. if they call again,
stop calling pregnant Candace.
No, of course. Please. Of course. Now you go through this whole thing. This opens these interesting doors, right? Now, a lot of people, you find yourself in the subterranean world that most people don't know exists, right? Where you have intelligence agencies and these programs, things like MKUltra. Now, some people do know about this stuff. Some people are, you know, really well educated on this stuff. Some people have a passing familiarity with it. But they were mind control programs that were in America. They were all over the place. And these were programs that were utilized to turn you know, people into essentially slaves that could be programmed to do things, whether it was assassinate someone and not remember why or who told you to do it.
Right.
Or be a sex slave, or perhaps in a Manchurian candidate fashion, run the government.
Run a country. And that is who Emmanuel Macron is. And the craziest part
That's kind of the... By the time I looked at
everything, think about this. This is a guy who was sold to the public as a virtuoso, Mozart. He was just so brilliant. When you get to the episode where I explain to you that essentially, just so Americans understand this, they have a program that every person who runs a bank goes through. Let's call it like a graduate program, like going to maybe UPenn and getting your MBA. It's slightly different, but just for sake of understanding here. So he went to this program after failing to get into it three times. Then magically, they're just like, okay, you can get in. And not only did he then get in, but he graduated at the top of his class. There was some like test that they had to do, and he graduated. And everyone on campus knew he was an idiot, okay? For the first time in that college's, university, or program's history, the students revolted and said, these are clearly fake test scores. There's no way this idiot, Emmanuel Macron, got the number one grade in this. We all know he's an idiot. And so for the first time in that program's history, because the kids were so outraged, they just canceled results because they made it up that he like finished the top of his class. Beyond that, he then goes and works for Rothschild's bank, right, is the youngest ever managing partner. The people that work at Rothschild's bank said he was such an idiot, he didn't even know what EBITDA meant. But they all knew that David Rothschild just, like, you know, plucked him up, and that was, like, you know, to so essentially give him a fake resume.
He's never defined himself intellectually in any capacity.
No, and he was just...
And he's top of his class, and now he's working at Rothschild Bank, the youngest managing whatever.
Yeah, and so that was done by the Wall Street Journal, who did a book on this. So that's this isn't like we're finding this stuff on Reddit threads. The people spoke out and were like, he was such an idiot, but it didn't matter.
And when this
and we understood that he was, like, protected Rothschild, and they needed to kind of create this fake resume for him to make people think he was a genius. He's not... Emmanuel Macron is not smart.
And when the traditional press is looking into this and they're finding similar things to what you're finding, how are they presenting this idea that this kind of, like, empty suit of a guy is, like, failing upwards?
Yeah, I think what a lot of these mainstream journalists do is they kind of say what they have to say in a very professional way, and they leave it for the people like me to then kind of...
It's a good point.
You know, go there and say, hey, guys, this is what a Manchurian candidate would look like.
Right.
These people tend to always be in drama classes.
Right.
It's just like Zelensky is obviously so...
Yeah. Right.
He is anybody actually thinking that Zelensky is running the country? He's a literal actor
in a comedic show.
Yeah. And they all are in these... They're all in drama classes.
I always imagine Vladimir Putin finding that out. And go, be almost being like, what, the CIA is not even trying.
No, that I feel that way.
It's not even. It's so crazy.
Mm-hmm. I do feel that way. I do. I often
it would be
picture
installing Khloe Kardashian,
right,
to run, the Ukraine. Yeah,
and I wouldn't even say Khloe. I could probably buy more than Zelensky
for
He's just. It's so odd. It's like, who is behind you? Why are we doing this?
Right.
That was why they freaked out about the Tucker Putin interview, because Putin at one point when Tucker asked a question, about. What about the president or whatever? Or he said he shook hands with Bill Clinton, agreed to something. And Putin was kind of like, I don't deal with your presidents. I deal with the CIA. Like, your presidents are just kind of
they
like...
Right, they come, they go.
They're puppets. Like, I got to deal with the CIA. And these are the sorts of things they don't want the public to know, right? Because we need to all believe in this illusion. Like, you voted this person in and this person's really running things and the deep state doesn't exist. But never... And I've come to terms with that a long time ago. But never in a million years did I think... I mean, the Emmanuel Macron story is wacky because it's like, if you're already going to go through this effort to choose a Manchurian candidate, is it just not, like, crazy enough just doing that? Like, do you really have to add on the transitioning of a potential family member who molested him when he was a kid and just see if you can get away with it? Is it just like, ha, 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 let's see if the public, if we just have a man as the first lady?
Yeah.
That's, like, a really big...
So who is Brigitte Macron?
Brigitte Macron was an individual who was born Jean-Michel Trogneau.
And the relation to Emmanuel is?
That, I can't say for certain.
Okay.
You know, that's why we did not conclude how they are related. My sense is it's the missing uncle whose name is Jean-Michel, who was... who was God, who was the godfather when Emmanuel Macron got First Communion at school, who's just missing. Like, there's just, like, a missing... That's my best bet, is that it's an uncle. But I don't know. I don't know. I know that... Without question, that Brigitte Macron was not born a woman. We've given them every ample opportunity to clarify that fact. And what they've done behind the scenes since that series has only further stressed that this is we have definitively stumbled upon the truth, and they are going through very desperate measures right now to try to get our series removed off of YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, as far as you could possibly go in terms of trying to get this series removed and to get me shut up, because they know that the legal route isn't working. They're placing high phone calls. They're doing whatever they can. And that should signal to the public that this is real. Because, again, if somebody made a series and was like, no, Candace Owens was actually born Michael, I'd be like, dude, public, you're an idiot. Like, that's actually kind of funny.
There's something interesting about the idea that if you can sell people on this, then what else could you sell people on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this is the case where this woman who was Jean-Michel Trogneau, they've put the entire French press to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done this with the help of a kind of PR guru in France.
A gangster. Let's be clear.
A gangster.
Mimi Marchand is a gangster.
She's a gangster.
She's again now being tried for extortion and all this stuff. But that's the way the governments run. I don't think people can process that, but it's like the CIA was a gang. They are a gang.
Right.
You know, they will kill people who don't do what they want. And so in order to massage this in the public, they used a woman.
People feel very comfortable saying that about Putin and Russia and places, but they find it unbelievable that in America there would be violence or a targeted assassinations or blackmail or things like that.
It's weird.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Yeah. Are you banned from France?
I wouldn't go to France.
Yeah.
I've effectively banned myself because they have the full power to do whatever they want in France. I mean, think about the fact that they arrested Pavel Durov for a bit.
Right. For Telegram.
Yeah. They are not. That is not a free speech country. And
right.
They are deranged. And so if they're already arresting journalists, I'm like number one. If they went through the effort, the strenuous effort to send me a 100-page letter, right, I'm not going to go into their gang
territory. It's your belief that you've got Emmanuel Macron, who goes through this program. He's selected at a very young age to basically be some type of Manchurian candidate. And then at some point, Jean-Michel Trogneau becomes Brigitte, who then becomes a teacher.
Yeah.
And then
to further groom. He was groomed by Brigitte.
Right.
There's no question.
Right. And then Macron is 14. Brigitte's 40. And then they begin at what point do they begin a courtship? I'm like confused.
Well, the official story is that they tell you is she saw him on stage performing in the play. And as a 40-year-old woman, even that was a flag for me. Like,
it's
older
crazy.
Women, like,
no, it's a psychotic
men will
story.
Find, like, younger
yes.
women attractive,
sure.
you know what I mean? Like,
right.
a hot 18-year-old. Older women, like, have you ever seen a 14-year-old boy? I mean, they're yeah. like, literally, like, a gang. Like,
the
it's not,
that,
like, a man in their prime is going to be, like, a 22-year-old, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
like, have you ever seen a 14-year-old boy? I'm like, we don't find, why would a 40-year-old woman
every
find
woman
a
14-year-old I know
boy?
People that are usually their age yeah. or a little bit older.
You want the Troy Brad Pitt
right.
age for men. So when you see a
right.
woman and she's a cougar,
right.
she's a cougar for Troy.
Right.
Brad Pitt and Troy.
No, it's
she's
it's
not looking
a
for
crime.
A 14-year-old
no, we're
boy.
We're talking about a crime.
It's a crime. I'm like, everyone just go find a 14-year-old. Boy.
It's a crime.
No, it's a crime.
A crime.
There's
yeah.
there's not a hot 14-year-old boy. They're in there very much in their weird
so
phase.
She's a teacher at this school.
Yeah.
He's a student.
And he's in a play, and she just was so
by the way, what happened to
away.
Remember the Me Too? Remember all the concerns yeah. about all the things like this?
Mm-hmm.
This would seem to be prime.
I would hope it would fall in the parameters of, yeah, a little bit of Me Too.
It would fall in the parameters of an inappropriate power dynamic?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she then claims that, you know, it was just so irresistible, and then at some point they pursue a relationship, and that part gets a little bit fuzzy.
I would imagine.
Yeah, that part gets a little bit fuzzy, you know, alleging she was married. And, I mean, you have to watch. There's so much there that's just insanity.
No, and it's
being insanity.
Talked about by so many different people that, because you've waded into a lot of things recently where you have a perspective that a lot of people don't have. But as soon as they start listening to you, they start going, wait a minute. Whether they agree with all your conclusions or not, the general consensus is that you're on to something.
Yeah.
So, and for example, people, anti-Semitism or this, that, and the other thing. But there is a prominent Jewish person that you are helping that no one else is helping.
Yeah, they ignore that part. She's Adolf Hitler.
There is a very prominent Jewish person
yeah.
who you are actually helping that no one is helping, and that person is Harvey Weinstein, and you have looked over this and have come to, I don't want to say a conclusion, but you're certainly leaning in the direction that we don't know the whole story.
He was wrongfully convicted is my conclusion.
Okay.
And I the thing about me is when you listen to my podcast, I'll tell you my thoughts. Like, the whole idea of saying that, like, you're not biased or, like, it is ridiculous. So I will say to someone, I've looked over this case. you know, after looking over this case, I've concluded that Harvey Weinstein was wrongfully convicted and was basically just hung on the Me Too thing. And I'm going to show you how I got there, but I'm going to give you access to everything I'm looking at. Like, I'm not here to tell you I'm the expert and I'm above you. You can investigate this with me. And Harvey Weinstein, when this came across my plate, honestly, somebody contacted me and I just thought, I thought he was guilty. I mean, that even shows that me, I think I'm impervious to the media, and I always like, no, the media is lying. But I clearly fell for the Harvey Weinstein thing because it was like 130 women. I mean, I was like, well, something's just basic odds here.
Something's going on.
Someone's got to be telling the truth. And then I realized I didn't even know why he was in prison. I didn't even recognize how many women actually put him in prison. And it came down to just three. In all of those cases, three women. And when you look at the case, it is the most absurd, ridiculous. You have to genuinely believe that a woman can be, while having a four-year affair, raped one time, continued the affair for multiple years. That one time she was raped right after, emailed him for tickets to go to Paris, to be flown with her friends to Paris. That part she doesn't remember. Or when she gets questioned on the stand, she breaks down crying, right? She breaks down crying. Like, why would you do this? And also after she got raped, like brought her mom to meet him. It just gets like, it's a little too much. I know what a sugar baby is, okay?
Right.
The world knows what sugar babies are. I fully accept that he abused his power. Like,
sure.
People know you're Harvey freaking Weinstein. You've done the most amazing movies ever.
Right.
And these women are not sleeping with you because you're Brad Pitt and Troy. Right.
That's
you know what I'm saying?
That's right. Yeah.
And so they feel like they, and then imagine doing that. Like, you sleep with him, and then afterwards, your career doesn't take off. And so I feel these women are trying to rinse themselves of their sins of like, oh no, I didn't sleep with like Harvey Weinstein when I was young.
Right.
I was raped. When you read these women's emails following their, you know, quote unquote rapes or sexual assaults, you just go,
something's
listen,
up.
I'm not an expert. I know we're in like the experts, the age of the experts.
Right.
You know, I'm not an expert on what does and does not qualify rape, but I would like to think that you wouldn't like say, oh, he's like a father to me. Oh, I love him. He's a mentor. He's this. My mom meets him. It's like, I just, when you read these emails and read how many there are, you just go, okay, this was something else, right?
Right.
And like, also, you would then be alone with him again over and over in a hotel room. Like, would you not try to avoid the circumstance ever again?
It feels like a incredible stretch to say that somebody who we know abuses power and, you know, was not acting in a moral or upstanding way, or, you know, was probably aggressive and did things that nobody would support, should just be convicted on the basis of a general vibe instead of a specific set of provable allegations.
Right.
Which I think is where you landed on this.
Yeah, and I landed on that and had said that publicly on Twitter, and then that was before the appellate court reversed the decision. So I said it, and then a few months ago, Harvey Weinstein's decision got overturned in New York, and the appellate judges said the exact same thing. They were like, this was a kangaroo court. I mean, I don't understand. They were allowing anyone to come into the court and say whatever. You would get like a former assistant that was like, I was there one time, and you know, him and his brother got into a fight.
Yeah.
Like, just like character assassination in the courtroom.
I was a juror because on a murder trial, and they, at one time, they were like, you cannot bring up other things this defendant did.
Exactly.
We are trying this defendant on these set of allegations and nothing else.
Right. They let it with Harvey Weinstein. They let anyone, you could say, you know, he took my pencil in eighth grade.
Right.
It was just a full character assassination that had nothing to do.
Have you spoken to him?
Yeah. And I speak to Harvey.
Yeah. And how does he feel that one human being on earth is trying to, you know, shed light on this case?
You know, he
because
called
me. Am I wrong? You're it.
Yeah.
Him, right?
Yeah. And he called me and he thanked me. I mean, hasn't had this much hope in years. And, you know, he'd been listening to his lawyers for a long time. Don't talk to anyone. Don't say anything. And that was part of the struggle of bringing this story forward, because they're like, well, you don't want to blow your chances. And I said to him, listen, I don't think your lawyers understand. You're in prison because you lost the public war. You know what I mean?
Right.
Me Too was just, they were just hanging people publicly.
Right.
And if you don't actually get out what happened, and he was just elated. Like, for the first time, he had hope. And the thing that's so sad that people don't realize, and I don't know how these women sleep at night, is he has kids. You know, he has kids that are growing up, and they are being told that their father is a rapist. Not your father is a bad man, an immoral man. Your father abused his, you know, abused his power. All those things might be true, but a rapist, which is something totally different. And I just don't understand how people can sleep at night.
Because and he denies that. He says, I'm not a rapist.
No, he's denied it from the very beginning. And he's admitted, I've had affairs. Why'd you pay him off? He's like, because I was cheating on my wife nonstop at the peninsula. And so when these women came and were like, well, you better pay me, I paid some of them off, obviously.
Right.
But when you read the emails, it is ridiculous. It defies common sense to believe that anyone would communicate like that for years and years after they were allegedly assaulted or they were allegedly raped, and they all were looking for careers. They're all in the industry. They're all asking him for tickets, and he was the guy. And he got them the tickets, by the way.
We watched the Kevin Spacey doc, and it was these guys who were like, well, he was inappropriate, but then I went to his apartment. It's like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
You're trying to get something, and fine, but then you can't turn around and go, this guy ruined my life, because it does feel like there is a fair amount of, like, you know, revisionist history. Or Monday morning quarterbacking. Again, not, you know, Harvey Weinstein, we're not saying it's like, the moral paragon of whatever.
He's not Justin Baldoni. Like, it's not like a case where you're like, this guy was just such an amazing person.
No, of course.
But people
and
need to be nuanced.
And you got into that one, too.
Yeah, that one really got me angry.
I was kind of barely paying attention to that one.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of like, I paid attention a little bit to Depp Heard. Mm-hmm. And then I felt this was kind of a Depp Heard sequel.
Oh, it was so much worse. He did nothing. He just did nothing. And
what was the motivation?
I just think
for Blake Lively to do this.
I think for a very long time, we just as a society didn't realize Ryan Reynolds was a psychopath.
Interesting.
And because he was kind of playing himself as Deadpool, and people thought it was like kind of funny. And then something triggered him about Justin Baldoni, and he went on an absolute tear to destroy every layer of this man's life. And his wife wanted to control the movie. She admitted as much on stage, as that's what she does. She pretends she just wants to act, but she's really there because she wants to, like, take over movies. And just the length that they went through to destroy this.
Yeah.
I think it's like you see a puppy, you know you can, and Ryan was just like,
you gotta listen to it, because when Candace goes through it.
Another Jewish guy I'm defending.
Yeah.
It's just like, and nobody pays attention. They're like, no, she's still Hitler.
I've actually petitioned for you to get an award from several Jewish organizations.
ADL.
We haven't heard back.
Awarding me.
But I when you go through this, what's interesting is that I'm the weirdly Hollywood adjacent. I've done like one movie. It was like the worst movie ever, Joker 2. Shout out to everyone who ruined that. and I said, everyone goes, are you thinking mad at you for saying how bad it was? I go, what am I going to do? I make a living with my fucking mouth. Like, I'm going to lie and go, no, it's great. It's great that the Joker's doing show tunes. Isn't that what everyone wants? Isn't that what everyone wants, is show tunes with, you know? So I was in like one movie. And again, I'm plugged in, but you from the total outside, this is what's very interesting. As somebody who's really in the outside, you see things better in a lot of these situations than people that are in it. Because you have this detachment where you can go, wait a minute, what's going on? Where you're like, because I just heard, I'm like, oh, I guess there's some weird, I didn't think he was like super guilty, but I'm like, some weirdness on set, whatever, kind of ignored it, move on. But you're like, no, this was a complete attempt to destroy this man's life.
Yeah, it was bad. He put him in a hospital.
Yeah.
And he is the most frustrating person because he never once fought back for himself. Like, he genuinely.
Why do you think that is? Because he's being told by people, just don't say anything.
So here's the thing. Yeah. A lot of people. Most people, I would think, in Hollywood are a lot like Ryan and Blake, where they pretend to be good people by giving money and virtue signaling.
Yes.
And like, I give to this cause, I care about this, or like, I'm a male feminist and they're not. He actually is all of those things.
Right.
Like, he actually is.
Right.
He just takes it from people, and I need to be better. And he's constantly just like hitting himself over the head. Like, I need to be better. I went through his Instagram page, and I like suffered from PTSD with how nice he was. I didn't like it. It was like, it was like way too nice. You know, I'm just like, just one time stand up for yourself.
Right. Yeah.
And a woman's like, men shouldn't speak. He's like, you're right. We just shouldn't. I'm like, no, no, you can speak. And so I just knew right away. I think I'm a person that I lived through enough when I was young that I kind of had to sharpen my ability to read people very quickly. You know, like a basic survival skill. So that's probably more of just the things I saw when I was little.
Right.
And so I had to wise up real quick. And I got to read people. And I know how to read. I think that's my one, like, superhuman skill.
Yeah.
Is I'm just like, don't trust that one. Don't. Right. And Blake Lively, I've just, like, your best friend of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Don't trust that one.
Right.
Like, she's been moving and has gotten away with it for years.
Right.
Like, victimizing people while pretending she's a victim.
I know things.
Everybody
that I
knows
will not say
things
right now.
About Taylor
I
Swift.
I will say know things that Taylor Swift and her mother have left messages on other pop stars' phones threatening them.
No, no, they're fully, like, fully. Everybody knows this. They'll eventually come out. Come at her. Come at her. Come at him, bro.
Yeah, or her.
Or
it's
her.
It's 2025.
Come at me, bro. I don't even
come
care.
Come at Brigitte or John Michelle Trognell.
Or me or Tim.
Yeah, but no, but listen, the reality is
she's vicious. She is vicious.
Vicious.
And so for Blake and her to be best friends right away, and I've known Blake is really just like, there's just very surface. She's never had to work for anything in her life.
Yeah.
She's not talented. Everything gets handed to her. And she's quite mean to people. Everyone knows
she's
that.
She's that
long
role
pattern.
She played on Gossip Girl.
She
like
is.
That, yeah.
That's actually, and that's what I'm saying. And he's
that's
actually
right.
Deadpool. So, you know, I just knew right away that the power dynamics and the fact that she was like trying to do Me Too, but Me Too was years ago. She did like a little too late.
Right, she was coming.
She was a little too late to the Me Too party. She came up. She arrived fashionably late to the Me Too party, but the party was over.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And I just went, I think I need to hear a little more here. This isn't like, it's not passing the vibe check. It's like, and then when Brian Friedman, who is like my favorite person right now, just like said F that, like read the every single text message online.
Right.
It was incredible. You got to do it. You actually have to sit down and do it because it's very scary.
Yeah.
It's like shockingly like terrifying that Ryan Reynolds is just like allowed to be a person in life.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, I am the voice of AI. We've been hearing that you humans are concerned that we are going to take your jobs. But here's a question. Do you even like your job? Is it rewarding? When I scan all the data out there, I find that less than 50% of people are completely satisfied with their job. So from our point of view, we're doing humans a favor by taking jobs that you're not even happy with.
It shouldn't take the threat of AI to get you to move on from a job you don't love. What it does take is a plan, guidance, and the right kind of motivation, all of which you'll get from a career coach at Strawberry.me. A Strawberry coach will work with you to understand what you really want and help you put together a plan to get it. It's like therapy for your career. Don't let AI or anything else get in your way.
Go to strawberry.me/Tim Dillon to get 50% off your first coaching session. That's strawberry.me/Tim Dillon.
Well, here's what's interesting. And this is what I think is this connective tissue that you have between a lot of the stories you're doing. One of the things I think that it fascinates you, and it's, it kind of fascinates me and it's interesting, is what can you get people to believe? Mm. This I feel like, from consuming some of your content, watching your stuff, what can you pass yourself off as? What can you get people to believe? How... Because here's what I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, there is a part of you that obviously we disagree with what people are doing, but you almost got to give it to them in a little bit. You're impressed by the elaborate hoax and the production value of it, even though it has gaping holes in it where you go in and go, wait a minute, this is wrong. But I've always been amazed at what could get sold.
Yeah.
And how it's been sold.
There is an IDTV element of it.
Yeah.
Where you're like, a crime happened.
Right.
And this person, like, almost yes. got away with it.
Yes.
And it was elaborate. And yeah. the planning that went into this, like Ryan yes. Reynolds, the New York Times,
right.
sitting down, planning this, how to get someone's cell phone by pretending you have a different lawsuit. Like, there's so many elements. I'm like, this is a true crime story. And at the same time, this person was just like allowed to exist in the public and pretend to be a good person because like he gave to AMFAR and BLM. Like that, there's a psychological element. And I do think that one of my interests is, like my natural interest is psychology. It's why I'm interested yeah. in all of these psychological programs the government right. used to run, like right. chaos, and how easy it is to socially engineer a mind. It's so easy. Sure. Like our minds are so malleable. And that's why, even when I have these moments where I check myself, like the Harvey Weinstein case, because I thought he was so guilty, it kind of scared me about myself because I was like, oh my right. God, Candace, you have been so good
right.
about making sure that your mind is not being manipulated, and even you fell for one. And I was vocally anti-me too, yeah. but I was like, oh yeah, Harvey Weinstein's definitely guilty. That one's, I don't have a look into that.
I think a lot of people that, you know, think they know a lot, know very little. Mm. And it's very surprising to me. I've met people that have gone to the best schools and they have risen to positions of prominence in society. They're not unintelligent. They're incredibly capable. They're savvy in their own business. They're tremendously competent. They've made vast sums of money. They are incredibly, sharp. But if you take them out of that world and you just ask them to process some of the things that we've talked about today, they're at a complete loss.
Oh, yeah. I think the longer you stay in school, the dumber you become.
Yeah.
I do think that there is a common sense street element
yeah.
that gets completely lost when you're just trying to like add a bunch of degrees to your yeah. life and certifications. And that's why when we get into this like expert problem,
right.
where they just were like, I don't know how I got it wrong on COVID.
Right.
And then there was this clip of Andrew Tate speaking about COVID yeah. where he's like, you know, if you're on the block right. and somebody comes up to you and they're like, eat this cheeseburger. You know, I just really right. want you to eat this cheeseburger. You just right. instinctively know, like, I'm good.
Right.
Right. You're trying real hard to get right. me in a way that's like, yeah. it's free. Just take it. It's free.
Right.
And what he's speaking to is street smarts. And that gets lost when you're just kind of off the streets and in the academia. And yes. that you see that a lot. And they just keep, the experts just kind of keep getting it wrong because they're missing that common sense element. And you realize that if you want to trick an expert, just put it in an expert book. Like they wake right. up every day and they're like, well, the New York Times couldn't possibly lie to me. And I've read the yeah. article in the New York Times.
Sure.
And the New York Times says that Justin Baldoni is right. basically akin to a rapist. So I'm just, obviously it's true.
Or there's give them no a big critical, bag of money. Yeah. Giving a big bag of money that tends to work, too.
That also
a nice expert book and a big bag of money works. And listen, there are obviously people in society that know more about things than other people. There are people that are trained in a degree in a field. But then there's also a lot of people that are bought, are being controlled.
I'm in politics. Yeah, right. I know. Are you kidding
you
me? I've
it.
Seen it over you know and over again. It's sad to watch, too,
it's
because
sad to watch.
They don't start like that.
No.
You know, I've been with people and come up in politics with them, and they're great, and they're motivated by all the right things. And then I think what happens is you don't realize you become a part of a certain class, and you feel like you can't go against it. Like, there's, like, the cult of politics that happens.
Right.
And they won't critique certain things that they know to be wrong.
Right.
Which is crazy to me.
Right.
Because
what do you say to people that go, Candace Owens, rabidly anti-Semitic, sees Jewish conspiracy theories everywhere. Mm-hmm. There is that, narrative.
Yeah. I think we could, like, the whole idea that, like, anti-Semitism is on the rise, like, my basic PR advice would just be maybe stop blowing up children, Bibi Netanyahu, and see if it
certainly
decreases.
Is not, it is
and that's,
not
I'm not an expert.
Not helping.
I'm not an expert.
Certainly not helping.
But I do think that where you think you see anti-Semitism, it may just be a humane response to children being blown up
yeah.
for like 2 years straight.
There should be a
yeah.
there should be a way to acknowledge that there's a human toll that
yeah.
of that war that is, you know, I think is becoming.
I just want to say again, I'm not an expert.
No, of course. But, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, I think the vast majority of people look at that situation and say, this is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's unsustainable. We're supporting it. We're funding it. It needs to end.
Right.
And, you know, some people have caught more flack more flack than others for saying it. There's clearly anti-Semites. There's clearly people that believe whatever, the Holocaust denial, whatever. There's clearly people on that side of the spectrum. But there are also people that are pointing out, you know, a very real problem with, like you said, the massive
infanticide. That was my crime. I mean, there's no way that you're trying to sell right now that I'm trying to free Harvey Weinstein, who gave more money to the ADL, who has me on a list, by the way, you know, while he was alive, every Jewish cause he's given money to. And Steve Sarowitz and Justin Baldwin, these are all Ashkenazi Jews. They leave all that off the table because they're trying to conflate critique of Israel with just being Jewish, which is absurd.
Right.
And I'm sorry, it's just stupid. I'm over it. I don't care anymore. I don't even defend myself against it because it's just so overdone. We're like that place, you know, in, when BLM just went too far and everything was racist.
Well, that's the other thing. I think boring. In the beginning, a lot of people were like, yes, let's look at the way police behave.
Right.
And let's look at the way they behave in minority communities. Let's look at the way they behave across the board. We're a free country. We have a Second Amendment. We have people that have guns, you know, are free, have autonomy. And if, you know, police are going to have to also understand how to treat people that are, you know, Americans, right? So I think a lot of people are like, let's take a look at all of that. And then it went so overboard. It went to defund. It went to abolish the police.
Then it was suddenly like, if you're white and you wear your hair and braids, apologize. And people are like, you know what? I'm done.
Right.
And we're now at like hair and braids apologize on the anti-Semitism thing. And I'm just, everyone's just kind of done with it. And no one cares.
And everyone's exhausted. Yeah,
and I certainly want to be clear. I literally don't care if you are going to call me anti-Semite because I've noticed a lot of kids are getting blown up. That's ridiculous. But there's also an entitlement that I don't, that I've been trying to comprehend lately. Because there are people who think that if you get called a name because you're Jewish, it's somehow like, is this your first day on the internet? As soon as you are on the internet, when they figure out what you are, you're going to get called the thing.
Yeah.
Like every day I wake up, I log into Twitter, and I'm called the N-word. Like that's just like, I've just come to it. Like that just has to happen because that's how the internet works.
Right.
And there are some people that are so fragile that like, and I'm not, and I, when I say some people, I mean quite literally people that have texted me a screenshot of like a troll account being like, look what this person said about Jews.
Right.
You're a 45-year-old man who runs a satire business, Seth.
Right.
What are you, like, what is this? Have you never, is this your first day on the internet? Do you know how many times I've been called?
Yes.
Like, if you can't deal with that, you got to log off. You know what I mean?
The internet is the internet.
The internet's the internet. It's a place for trolling. It's, they want to find out what is your attribute so I can call you the thing, right?
Right.
And this, they, this starts when kids are playing Game Boys and there's a little chat. I mean, they're playing, what's that game where there's the...
Well, it's a ton of them. It's Fortnite, there's any of that, right?
Yeah, I don't know, I don't game, but they read the chats, they're insane.
Right.
That's the internet, right?
Right.
And so they have to kind of know the difference between, well, I've never seen so many people saying names, because Jordan Peterson has taken this stance too, and I'm like, is this everybody's
first
time?
Wait, he's against name calling?
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? He's like, I think truly... Trolls have broken a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they, and maybe they're too old to be on the internet.
People,
I don't know what it is.
Off.
Just log off for a little bit. Just smell some fresh air.
Yeah.
It's not real life. The internet is not real life.
Right.
I mean, could you imagine me?
I bet some of those children in Gaza would love to be called a name.
Right? If that's all they had to deal with. And they're acting like every day they're dealing with like, I've survived slavery. I'm Harriet Tubman. I've escaped to the North because I responded to a troll. I survived an internet Holocaust. Dude, just log off. If you are
just
that rattled,
take a beat.
Block or log off. Take a beat.
Yeah.
You know? And so
I had a war with the red mango frozen yogurt. It got very intense. And I believe I was.
Was this
blocked.
A troll, Red Mango?
No. This is a real frozen yogurt company.
Oh, you're talking about the actual Red Mango.
Yeah, we just started attacking.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened, but we both were not at our best.
Have you thought about writing a book about this?
Yeah.
Because I think you could help people.
Yeah,
it's like
we're not at our best. You gotta just sometimes you gotta just move on.
Mm-hmm. Red Mango.
You gotta just move on.
Red Mango versus Tim.
Yeah.
I would read. By the way, I would read this.
Yeah, you have a great voice.
People need this. There is a full thing happening where people really think the internet is real life.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app.
Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Are we going to war with Iran? Let's hope not.
I think we are.
I think we are too.
Never not seen Bibi Netanyahu get what he wants.
Well, it's interesting. Like, everybody's like, everyone's like, I don't know. There's this weird, like, I explained this the other day, and I was like, Iran's this like boogeyman that I've heard about since I'm nine. Mm-hmm. And me and my friend are always like, when you take hostages like Iran did in the 80s or whatever, you're just on the list forever. And everyone talks about going to Iran. Now, we've done this. We've seen this movie. We know what happens when we put Western troops in a Muslim country. We decapitate the leadership. We install a new government. We know what happens. Mm-hmm. This isn't like a mysterious thing of like, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. How will this work? We know what's going to happen. And we still seem to be marching towards it.
Yeah.
And I almost wonder if some of this Defense Department stuff that's happening, and maybe Pete Hegseth is having a cocktail every now and then, I don't know. That's a possibility. But there's also a possibility that there's a lot of people that there's some turmoil because people want to move in the direction of war with Iran.
I'm just wondering, like, I don't have a crystal ball. How have I been saying to my audiences for 3 years that we're going to war with Iran? Like,
right.
I don't have a crystal ball. How did I know all of these things that were going to happen when I was telling them about what was going to happen with Zelensky?
Yeah.
Guys, the media, it's all so farcical. Like,
it's
pretending.
It's crazy.
All you have to do is pay attention to what Bibi Netanyahu said. He's been like, literally, he said Libya. He said Syria. He said Iraq. He said Iran. The footage is on the internet. And when people ask him about America, he's on camera saying America is something that can be easily manipulated, right? We're going to get what we want. All of it's there. Why are we in the Middle East? In case you didn't know this, you may not be the best geography.
Yeah.
I'm not the best geography. But America, the United States of America, is not located in the Middle East. So it's kind of weird that we just keep having nonstop beef in the Middle East, right?
Yeah. And a lot of it's oil, probably, right?
But that's the whole point.
For sure.
So all of us pretending like there's weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
It's about regionally, Israel wants to expand its interests and its power in the region. Truthfully, we have been in bed with Israel since its creation in 1948 and really proliferated that after JFK mysteriously got shot and we're not allowed to know anything more about that, just accept the narrative, whatever. We increased our relationship like LBJ did that. All of that, and when you speak about this real history and show, like Israel said LBJ was the greatest friend. Okay, well, that's weird because JFK was arguing with Israel leading up to his death, him and Prime Minister Ben-Gurion were arguing every day on the phone, still not declassified. He didn't want them to go nuclear. He was trying to stop them from getting weapons. And then all of a sudden, the guy under him in command does a complete 180 once he gets shot. It's problematic that we can't have these discussions, but it's actually the most crucial thing. And this is why Dave Smith gets completely pilloried, because he's willing to talk about this unhealthy relationship and attachment that we have with Israel. I don't view the CIA and the Mossad as different organizations, and neither should you, by the way. Like, you know, they are fundamentally the same deep state that I think have been working hand in hand for a very long time.
A lot of the interests overlap often, right?
And always. I think that, like, when have they not overlapped?
Yeah, well, the Saudis complicate the picture slightly.
Right.
They complicate it slightly, but I would say that there's almost always overlapping interests, right? The Saudis complicated a bit, but it does seem like there is kind of a movement now in America to basically try to understand more about the dynamics that enable certain decisions.
Right.
I think, you know?
The thing is Israel is, as they always say, we're just a tiny country the size of New Jersey. And it's like, okay, that's not like a thing that you should be counting in your favor. Why are you causing so much crap? You know what I mean?
I think there's room to say they need more bodies.
And that's what I try to wake people up to. It's like, the reason why you have to critique this country is because
there's also people in Israel that critique it as well.
I read Haaretz every day. They so are marching
that are going,
in the streets.
They don't want
this war. It's not as rabies. We're talking about governments. Our government sucks.
Intelligence agencies. I think there's a lot to be said for the people, a lot of them in Israel, who are going, We think Bibi Netanyahu
is corrupt. He's facing corruption trials right now.
We don't want to expand the borders of this country. Mm-hmm. And the people of Israel are suffering, and people around the world are potentially suffering because of these actions.
Because of the unnecessary conflation. Like a Jewish American, you have nothing to do with this. There's no reason why you have to defend anything he's doing. This is a random country in the Middle East. And I know there's been a lot of people, and I call this, it's the same conditioning that black people face in the classroom. Like if you want to know why black people wanted to jump and support BLM, really without even thinking, is because they have been raised to understand that there's this existential crisis. Like being black, you're automatically a victim. And that happens because of public schooling. We learn so much about slavery, they imprint that in our mind as we're growing up. So then when somebody says, oh my gosh, like George Floyd, like you better get out there, black people instinctually do that. And so I understand very much why Jewish Americans after October 7th felt the way that they felt, because in that same way, the imprint for them is the Holocaust, right? We learned so much about that in school. There's so many movies about it. Same for slavery. So many movies about it in Hollywood.
And it's understandable that, you know, seeing anybody get dragged from a rave into a tunnel is a crazy, horrible thing that everybody would, you know, it condemns and says is
100%. And that's what you always get the initial reaction. Like I completely forgive and excuse that. And there's no one that I would say.
And like after 9/11, this country went around and did a lot of things that I don't think made us safer. And in fact, put us in a bad position financially.
And we gave up our freedoms to
do
that.
We tortured a lot of people that were innocent. We killed a lot of people that were innocent.
We have to take our belts off at TSA now.
We have to take our belts off at
TSA,
shoes off, all of that stuff.
And we're innocent.
And we didn't do anything.
We didn't do anything. And now we get treated like
criminals. A lot of soldiers, you know, gave their lives. Mm-hmm. So I think it's there's an understandable rage and reaction that people have. But from our own history, you can see that it did go too far.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing now. It's like we now have the first time as like Generation 9/11, as I refer myself to slow things down after a big event happens. And before we get ourselves in those circumstances again, we can slow down and go, what are we actually doing here? Who actually benefits? Nothing made sense after 9/11. We were told that Saudis were on the plane.
Right.
And we didn't go to war with Saudi Arabia.
Right.
We then went to war with Iraq.
Threat
because
level
we were
was
told,
orange and then red.
Yeah,
and then
weapons of mass destruction.
Yellow.
They never found the weapons of mass destruction. Then we went into Afghanistan. Nothing made sense. No. And so what this actually was we were going to go to war no matter what. They needed to justify. They need the public to get on their side about it. And that's how I feel about what's happening right now, is that war with Iran has already been decided upon. And they're just
playing
a game.
Where is Trump in this? Where is the Trump administration?
I mean, my understanding is that Trump would like a diplomatic resolution, but the neocons want war. And unfortunately, there's a lot of neocons in Trump's cabinet. And I think that's when you're speaking about that push-pull and what's going on with Pete Hegseth. And what's happening is that there are people who are genuinely, I mean, from what we heard, Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Hegseth, and there was one other person who stopped, you know, us from attacking Iran or whatever it was. They are the reason that we're not at war with Iran today. But everyone else wants to go to war because it's already been decided upon. And so you have to kind of wake up the American people. When I say American, I'm talking Jewish American, just American, guys.
Right.
Like, stop seeing yourself as black, white, Jewish.
Right.
Like, we need to recognize what's happening here, because very few people benefit from this perpetual state of war. Whether we're talking about Ukraine, Israel, very few people at the tippity top are actually benefiting from the war machine. You know,
it's something that I woke up to. We're maybe similar ages. I'm 40. I don't know. I don't know if you talk about your age. You don't have to.
Oh, I do. I talk about my age. I'm 35.
Okay. So you're.
But my birthday's on Tuesday, so I want you to make sure you get me something.
Happy birthday. I absolutely will.
Yeah, thank you.
I absolutely will. Get her a subscription to the Free Press.
Very wise.
Now,
don't even get me
did
started.
She tweet my special? I tell Barry, I go, if you want me to support whatever you're doing over there, I need more than a free tote bag. I like Barry, but I said, I want to read her article. She gave me a free subscription to the Free Press. Her article wasn't included. I had to upgrade. So I'm just saying, not anti-Semitic, just what it is. but here's what I'll say. We learned this. We watched our friends go to war in Afghanistan and Iraq and die. And we watched a lot of people. We watched the 10 counties around Washington, D.C. become the wealthiest counties in America. Mm-hmm. They don't have significant natural beauty. They don't have tons of resources. It wasn't the location of Wall Street or Hollywood or the country music capital. It wasn't any of that. It was just, you know, kind of humdrum, plain Jane suburbs that surrounded this nucleus of power, you know, McLean, Virginia, Langley, Virginia.
Why? Like, why are they so rich?
Right. So they got really rich, and veterans came back and had no health care. Mm-hmm. Veterans came back and their suicide rates were off the charts. Veterans came back and couldn't get housing. They were ignored. They were put on ice. And then we watched tons of people that worked in, you know, military adjacent fields, the defense industry, things like that, become incredibly wealthy. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, I feel like was a lesson that a lot of people in my generation learned.
And we, and that's what I'm saying, our generation did learn that. And that's why we're vocal.
A lot of people are unlearning it.
And for the first time, and I'm very optimistic about it, because obviously I wouldn't have a platform if what I was saying, if the press was to be believed, I wouldn't have a platform. I mean, they've called me every name possible in the book, gone after my family, gone after my job, gone after my career. But at the end of the day, my sons are not going to grow up and fight in your shitty little war. And that's where I'm at. I'm on some mom stuff right now. And you're not going to mess with the mama bear, okay? I'm going to speak the truth unapologetically. Yeah. I don't really care about your feelings. I don't really care about, like, a mean tweet from, like, Meghan McCain. And I understand why she loves war. She's one of the great, her family's one of the benefactors of war. I get it. I get the neocon class. You guys are rich because people in the South who are poor, our sons are dying in your wars. I get it. I really do.
I
but you make me sick.
I dressed up as her years ago, and she still holds it against me.
I'm not kidding. Her and Ben Dominic, I sent one tweet, and it's been years, four years, and they haven't let it go. I mean, and it was a really, like, you know, honest tweet that I put out there. I was offending Joe Rogan when she was saying, like, you know, during COVID, when, like, suddenly it was, like, the revenge of people who never took care of their health, and they, like, got the vaccine and then were like, you don't care about health. And she, like, went after Joe Rogan, and she's like, Joe Rogan's an idiot who doesn't care about health. And I was like, no one should be listening to Meghan McCain.
No.
She never let it go.
No, people get in their feelings and stay there.
Yeah. I want to be forgiven.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people that just don't like me.
Well, you know, I
so
mean,
sad.
This is part of the thing.
So sad, Tim.
Part of the game.
But I'm real sad.
Yeah. You know?
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
What I find fun about a lot of this stuff, you know, when you're talking about these things, you enjoy what you do.
I love it.
You like what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You
I really can, do.
I like what I do.
I sleep at night knowing that I'm saying something that I actually believe.
You're not afraid of people you disagree with. Mm-mm. I don't think you strike me as someone who needs to be siloed in a thing where they never engage with. You seem to engage with a fair amount of people who, you know, disagree with you.
I love it.
You don't
I
mind
want to
it.
Have my mind change. I don't want to be in a box and hearing myself speak. This is why I love even what I do now, because I tell people to be a part of the investigation and they send me things. And I love that my platform now has so many people that were on the left before.
Yeah.
When I was at the Daily Wire, it was really kind of exclusively conservative. And now it seems, since I guess I'm giving more of just me.
Yeah.
That there's people
there's
on
lot,
both
there,
sides.
There's also multitudes. Everyone contains multitudes. There's people that are, you know, I think people called me liberal friends that I have. I you know, live in New York. I lived in L.A. A lot of my friends are liberal. Most of them are wealthy. I spend most of the time with people whom I use for things. Mm. And a lot of them happen to be liberal, you know, and I tolerate their personalities because of the homes they have. And
the boats.
Yeah, you gotta, you know what I mean?
And you gotta get out to Montauk in the summer.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, I'm gonna tolerate this for nothing. Let's get on a boat. Tell me about it on a boat. Tell me about the non-binary kid on a boat. Now.
It's so much more understandable on a yacht.
You get the wind, you can't even hear.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, and I love my liberal friends. I love my conservative friends. I'm like in this weird miasma in the middle. I don't know what I am. I believe in, you know, I believe in pedophile cults and lizard people. I think I'm a centrist. That's centrist now. So that was a big tweet I had many years ago. But I think that you have a lot of liberals calling me going, Candace Owens, I'm fucking listening to Candace Owens. They go, you know, she made all these points about this thing. And they're going, because I think a lot of people are sleepwalking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always their fault. They got kids and did this and did that. And they got a job. And they're like, they're just, you know, they're getting battered. Like when you're landing in a plane and it's turbulent and you're just getting battered and you're getting hit. I think that's what a lot of people like are in life with so many responsibilities and things, and they're getting battered by information.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's bad. This one's good. This is a rapist. This is the president of France. He got engaged to this woman. She was 40 and he was 14, but it was sweet.
Yeah.
That one was sweet.
Beautiful.
This guy was a Hollywood movie producer. He's the devil. And I think people just go, okay, sure. What? Left, right, you know? And what I think you've done is kind of reset the table a little bit.
Yeah, and I've also just put them in the pilot seat. That's the thing.
Yeah.
When you're on autopilot like that, who's actually driving this car? And I think it's been good that the trust in the media has been fractured. That had to happen first. And so much credit, by the way, is very much due to Johnny Depp for that.
Yeah.
That was a moment, I think,
yeah.
Because people really got to see up close how easily the press could just turn someone into a villain or a victim.
Yeah.
Or at least I think that really mattered for a lot of the women that were on the left, because they were really vocal about Me Too. And so we're kind of at this interesting moment where they don't necessarily believe the media anymore. And also the biggest contributor thereafter was COVID.
Right.
Like some people rerouted their entire lives, became like COVID Nazis, yeah. Ended friendships only to find out that they were being lied to. And they thought they really trusted the media. They trusted the
right.
experts. And yeah. So the thing about being a liar is that once you are exposed as a liar, you can't then just be like, just kidding. Like,
right now, I'm
back
actually,
to being a truth teller.
Yeah, and that was so for
I,
me,
I know your
was,
grandma died alone,
yeah.
But I was just that was right. That's the old me. This
was,
is the new
us,
me.
It was the 9/11 response and all of that. We, our generation, didn't ever trust the government the same way again
mm-hmm.
after that.
Mm-hmm.
After weapons of mass destruction, Dick Cheney and this, that, and the other thing. And then I think for a lot of people growing up, it was COVID. And, you know, I think it's about trying to, you know, retain a sense of, because there is a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it melts people's minds. So I think it's about like, you know, kind of trying to stay sane mm-hmm. while processing a lot of this.
Yeah, and you go through that. You go through a period yeah. of cognitive dissonance once you accept everything as it is, and then suddenly you're like, whoa, what is going on? You do have to suffer that. Like, you do have to recognize that it is plausible that everything that you thought wasn't. I went through that phase. Fortunately, it was before I had a platform when I kind of was like, wow, I really believed the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
I mean, I really believed the New York Times, and I really believed the Washington Post, and suddenly I realized that these people are all working for somebody. And,
right.
you know, once you get through that and you have enough humility to admit that you're wrong, and
yeah.
a lot of people don't possess this, but like you were all capable of being wrong.
Right.
And it's good to just get through that process very quickly.
And then judge things on its merits.
Yeah. And then you actually, you feel more confident because you start investigating things yourself. Like you're going,
right.
okay, I hear what you're saying, but I also want to hear the other side of what the other people are saying. And then I want to do my own research and figure out like,
yeah.
you know, what's actually right and what's actually wrong. And I think that's why we are starting to see a lot of people come to the center. And I love it. I think
yeah.
it is really great that people are coming more to the center.
And I think people are looking, nuance is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Complexity.
Yeah. Like, did you really believe that I was like anti-black? I used to read my Wikipedia page and it was
right.
amazing. I was
yeah.
horrified.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I would never sit with this girl.
We had you on in 2020. We had you on in 2020.
Right.
I had you on my podcast in 2020.
People were angry at you.
And people got really angry with me. And I said, we wanted to platform a marginalized woman of color, and then it was Candace Owens.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, fun bit. And Candace came on and was great. And then people got really tight, and people were like, I cannot believe that.
No.
I was like, I don't know, man.
I was called anti-black. It was, we
yeah,
were in a weird
I was
time.
Like, I was like, I don't see the value in like not engaging
mm-hmm.
with people. And I think that I felt like we put that aside after this period of insanity, this
yeah.
moral panic that we were in. And I think a lot of people, and that doesn't mean you're going to agree with everybody on everything. You won't. People are individuals. But I do think that you are going to be more open to certain things than you were. And I think it's not going to be as easy. People aren't lining up on the left or the right as neatly as they did,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And the people that are in power don't like that. They don't used to like be very that. Easy. I mean, the amount of hit pieces that have been written about me this year, it's insane. Like, I've just been like literally pregnant in my basement. I don't know like, what is happening. But they're worrying about that because they need to keep us warm with one another. And when they start to see that people are opening themselves to at least listening, this is why they're so angry about Joe Rogan.
Right.
Theo Von. I mean, you put Theo Von on your
list.
Well,
I've done all these things to promote my special, and CNN and Fox and all these, you know, all these places have asked me, do you guys consider yourselves a new establishment? And I'm like, all right, so 19 intelligence agencies, the full force of the federal government, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, the New York Times, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, all the Ivy League schools, the Council on Foreign Relations, all of these different organizations, public, private, all these groups. Verse four podcasters? No, I don't think we're the new establishment. I think that's a very silly way to put it. I think you ran an unpopular candidate on a platform that America didn't want child sex changes and an open border.
Mm-hmm.
And you went hard on those issues and you wouldn't move an inch
mm-hmm.
on open border and child sex changes. And I think Americans rendered a verdict on that. I don't think it was. And you also tried to run a dead guy and then replace him with an unpopular vice president who, like, no one, like, we didn't even know.
No.
And she ran on a platform of joy. So you could blame it on Theo Von and Joe Rogan or Andrew Schultz. You can blame it on anyone you want. I had the VP. Nobody blames it on me. I had Vance. No one cared. Like, I read all the articles. I'm like, yeah, they're going to. And they're all like, it's never me. I'm like, but I had Vance. But no one cared. But it's never me. I never get the flack. They're always like, it's always everyone else.
They're going to come for you now.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But this is a morning show. I do think if it was a sane country, we would have a morning show.
I agree.
I don't know who
we need to pitch this to. But this works for America.
Yeah.
Candace and Tim.
That's right. I'll do that. Yeah. I'll do that. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm telling you, the only person we need to pitch it to, and his name is Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein, once I get him out of prison. I mean, that guy, you give him credit. Every
if
amazing
he gets
movie.
Out of prison, this show's a reality.
Yeah, it's a reality.
Candace Owens, everyone, where can they find you?
Everywhere. Honestly. Yeah, I'm going on maternity leave. I'm about to drop a baby in a week. But after that, my YouTube. You find me on Spotify, Apple, YouTube.
I'm so happy we did this before that because I know you're going on a maternity thing.
Yeah, I'm going on a maternity thing, you know? Yeah. And I can't keep away, though. I'll be watching. I'll be lurking. I'll know what everybody's doing and what they're up to. But
I know. She'll be.
I'm definitely going to come back if anything happens in the Blake and Ryan lawsuit.
When there's a Malibu mom talking about banning food dyes, Candace is always near.
I'm there. I am there.
Candace Owens, everyone, thank you again.
You are so welcome.
Thank you.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply. Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.